Welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where we celebrate trans experience as part of the human experience. We're Madison and LG, two trans women diving into everyday life, politics, pop culture, relationships, and more.
Being trans is just one part of who we are. Join us as we laugh, learn, and share stories that remind everyone we're not so different after all.
I am a plane without flyers. What, wings? I think it's wings. Wow. I'm a plane without wings. Wow. I'm a turkey without a gobble right now. I'm a walrus without a rust.
You're a Tito. You're a Michael without a Tito. Ooh. A Janet without Latoya.
I'm a sure. Tina without a who? The sandwich.
Michael without
eat your sandwich. Or no, what was it?
Where the fuck are you coming with eat your sandwich from, bro?
Isn't it Ike and Tina?
How the fuck do you go from one to the other?
Isn't it Ike and Tina? Oh, eat your... Oh, what was he telling her to eat? The dessert. Anyways, I'm that. I'm all that.
I think I could definitely take you on today. I could kick your ass today. You have an injured knee and your mind is not where it needs
to be. I've literally been in the sun all day.
Well, I could have sworn you hadn't.
Even though I'm not, pale, bitch. Even though I can't play, I'm still out there.
And there welcome to the trans experience.
I fucking hate you.
I love it. I love to put that to you. This is LG.
Hi, this is Madison.
We know. So this is how we start this show today. Today's topic is going to be a bit serious. Maddie already warned me to be serious.
No.
Which I don't promise y'all that I'll be, but I can tell you this much. I'll do my best to do so. Because it is a sensitive topic that we're going to be touching upon today. With the new administration and with the new policies and all of these new executive orders and everything that's going on politically in our country, one cannot help but to wonder and to worry about, like, what does the future look like for us? We really want to embrace that we will share different opinions. We all don't agree on everything, and that's why this is such a beautiful podcast. I would love for Madison to first of all, make us aware of what's going on. We were discussing earlier, I really don't watch the news because I hate the negativity that all of these platforms have. There's nothing positive going on them. You know what I mean? And I know that I should educate myself, especially when it comes to political issues, you know, and policies that will, at the long run, affect me. But I guess I do the ostrich effect where I sink my head in the freaking soil and fuck it. You know, like whatever comes.
Yeah.
And that is not a smart way to live, especially with this new administration.
I think it's a defense mechanism, right? Like you're not the only person. You're not even trans. Like take that out of it. Like you're just so many people. Once the election happened, they said, well, there we go. You know, the next four years, there's nothing we can do about it. And that's fine. That's a totally natural reaction. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Not everyone needs to be involved all the time. However, I firmly believe that if I have a voice to advocate for myself and others, I need to use that voice, right? I've been through a lot. Not just my trans identity, but not just my sober identity, just as a human being, right? As a child, there was a lot of trauma there. As a young adult, more trauma. As, you know, a 20-year-old, more trauma. And all of it was different. So, like, I have a myriad of things that I could share on. Obviously, we have at this podcast. But I've gotten to a point now where I have a voice. I need to use it because there's going to be someone out there that's suffering just like I was for 35, 34 years, you know, before I actually transitioned, before I even knew I was suffering, really. And so I think that it's important what happened.
I'm trying to see if
I had the right microphone, which you guys will hear a different quality sound.
Yeah.
Because Madison was like, no, delete it. I was like, no, bitch. It was way too fucking funny to fucking delete it. So we'll sacrifice the quality for
2 seconds.
For the comedy of it.
For my no gobble.
No gobble, gobble.
My turkey with no gobble.
But I think it's fun to start this topic, especially with humor. Yeah. You know, especially with a light heart, because it will get heavy.
Mm.
You know, and so one of the things that I was wondering, because like I said, I really don't watch the news.
Yeah. Sorry.
So Madison tells me from before we start recording, like, well, you know what? Like, it's okay if you joke, but keep it down. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Hold on.
Right now, hold up. Now the bitch is on the phone as I'm talking and she's like air sucking the freaking microphone. And I'm trying to be serious.
And this bitch is like, the one that said be serious is the one that's acting shenanigans.
I said, she said something. I said, okay, that's haha, funny, great. But
it was about the bathrooms.
Oh, it was. And I was, because I said, like, you wouldn't be attacked if you went into a men's restroom. Right. And you, no, said,
you
something,
said, like, would it be safe for us to go? I'm like, well, are they safe? Yeah. You know, like being. Yeah. But like,
which is funny. It is funny. But at the time.
So let's touch up on that. Let's talk about that right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So what is the policy that is that will affect, and how do you think it will affect us? Like, not just as a trans community, but it also affects the straight people, you know, like the straight guys, the straight woman. Because now a trans man would have to go into the woman's restroom.
Looking full man.
And my question is, like, are the husbands going to be okay with that?
Yeah.
Or is there going to be issues with that as well?
Yeah. You know I mean, so, I think that just to blanket this really quick before we dive into the nuance of it, I think that women in general are more accepting of different things in the world, right? I just naturally, I think that women are just more accepting of something that's different. They're not as fearful of things that are unknown as men are. Men are just fearful of things that they can't control or that they know. However, go ahead.
So let's say that it's true in all its extent. Mm-hmm. But my question is, for example, I know I'm a toxic bitch. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a jealous motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So would I be okay, and especially when it comes to a man, would he be okay? Especially because some of these trans men are like, hey, Danny, how you doing?
I know.
So are they going to be okay with trans men sharing bathrooms with their wives and with their daughters?
Yeah.
And are wives going to be okay with some of our sexy asses walking into the men's restroom? Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to be okay with that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it does affect the entire spectrum. It's not just one community that's going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
So elaborate.
Well, I think that if we start, especially in Arizona, they introduced a bill last month that would define men and women only as the characteristics of how they were born. So basically, what's between your legs? I mean, that's just what the code word is. It's, they want to know what is in between your legs. Is it a vagina or is it a penis? And to them, it's very black and white, right? Like, if they see this part, then that's what you are. And I think that if we start getting into that, like, it gets into a very gray area, right? You know, like, as people are being born, are we just going to start just, okay, you have that. There you go. That's you for the rest of your life. Good luck. You know, which, obviously, you know, I was born a boy, you know, because I had a penis when I was born. So I can't change those things, right? However, as time went on and things evolved, and obviously we understood the dysphoria that I have, this imbalance that I have, whatever you want to call it, right? For some reason, my physical body does not match what I feel on the inside. And one thing I have to push back on is these people who say feelings are not facts. Right. I think that works in some cases. I think that works if you're trying to make excuses for behaviors. Right. But the fact of the matter is that I definitely feel like I'm a woman, you know, through and through. And it took me a long time to get there, you know, and to understand that I'm allowed to call myself a woman, a trans woman, and be in that umbrella, you know, and be okay with that, because I grew up in a very Republican family where those words were not allowed to be used with me. You know, but I think if we start getting into characteristics of what you're born with, it just gets, I just don't like it. It doesn't sit right with me. It makes my gut turn, because you just don't know until that person grows up and understands their body like you don't. I will never understand LG's body, right? I'm not supposed to. It's not my job. That's not what I was designed for. I was designed to understand Madison's body. And so for these people who sit behind desks and write laws, how can you possibly tell someone how they feel about their body? You know what I mean? Like, it's mind-boggling to me. And I think it could get dangerous. I hope it doesn't, obviously. And I hope we can survive the next 4 years unscathed by the policies that are coming down the pipe. But it's not looking good.
I believe that one of the things that we need to understand here, and maybe that they're not willing to even have the conversation about, is that there's a difference between sex and gender identity. You know what I mean? What I identify with doesn't need to match the body that I was born in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not delusional to say I'm a full-blown woman. Mm. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't get periods. I cannot get pregnant. Like, I'm real factual about certain things and certain limitations that being a trans woman come with. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not here trying to fool nobody. I'm not here trying to...
You're not playing games.
Not playing dress up. You know, I'm living my life to the best of my ability and to my own understanding of what my truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't need to understand my truth, because it's not your truth. It's mine.
Well, I say all the time, nobody in our community is looking for you to understand us. Please stop trying, right? Mm-hmm. Just stop. You're not doing yourself any favor by trying to think that you can explain it to yourself or understand what it's like to be this thing that they're so afraid of, right? But I also think that they're fearful of it because they don't understand that kind of power, that freedom that we have of our choice, right? And I think that the power that we have as trans people or anyone that's outside of the binary, they don't understand the freedom of that choice and that power that we have over our own bodies now. You know, I think that's a heightened level of understanding of who you really are to get to this place to really accept it on your own terms.
I definitely agree with that. And what my question is taking me to is, what do you think, how are we prepared to deal with this? Like, as a trans community, excuse me, as a community as a whole, you know, like not just the trans, but everyone else, like, how are we going to deal with this? Like, are we going to try and fight? Are we going to sit back? Are we like what measurements can we take in order to make sure and ensure that both sides are content?
Yeah. So I think this is like a, this will be the $1 million question, right? Like, everyone's going to ask this question because all of us are unsure of what we're supposed to do. And I think it comes down to, you know, I have a responsibility as someone who has changed my gender marker on my ID, who has changed my birth certificate, who has changed my social security card. I have a duty to show up more now for those that haven't helped. Because I don't think that, like, for instance, you should never be forced to change those things to be accepted by your government. That's not fair to ask of you, of anybody, really. There are women who have taken their husband's last name, right? That now, I guess, I forget what state it's in, but basically their vote doesn't count anymore because they changed their name. You know, like, they're going deep on this shit. Like, for, dude, I said deep. But they're...
just want to make a little pause and just a little note.
A giggity.
Mind you, who's being immature? Not me.
I knew you were going to say
this.
Not
LG.
I knew this was LG. Coming. I knew this was coming.
That was Madison.
Anyways, back to what I was saying. I think that someone like me who has done all those things has a duty to show up even more so now, because I don't think it's fair that the people that who have not taken that on are being targeted even more than someone like me who's already gone through that process. Because to get me, it's going to be a longer process that I think would take more than that 4 years unless he used more executive orders, which we already know he is down for doing. But I think that the people that are just living their life as a socially transitioned person, as a medically transitioned person, are going to have more of a struggle legally because of the legal paperwork that's involved. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes. So what I'm hearing is this, is that just the same way that we have a civil duty to register to vote, we as a trans community have the civil duty to make sure that our documentation matches our gender identity. And this is something that I'm guilty of, because mm-hmm. I still haven't checked. Mine still reads male. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I have my friend Leah, and we were talking about this yesterday. And so my friend, we think differently. And she was saying, like, well, you know what? Like, you're fucked. Like, you need to get, like, there are rules for you to follow. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's certain rules that I really don't have to follow, but there's definitely a civil duty that comes with for myself. Mm-hmm. To make sure that I update those documents, to make sure that my documents match my identity. Why? Because if I don't, I'm leaving the door open for them to discriminate me, for them to tell me which restroom I'm going to use. So here's the thing, like, it's not all lost. Mm-hmm. There is ways for us to still protect our rights. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But sometimes the process is too long, or we don't know the resources on how to do this.
Like, where do we start?
Exactly.
Where do we start?
Let's start with you. How did you do yours?
Okay, so I started with getting a name change in the Mesa courts, because I was living in Mesa at the time. So I went to the municipal court of Mesa, and I got paperwork to file for a name change. It was $350. But because I was living in a recovery home at the time in a halfway house, I was able to put that payment off for 6 months. And then I was able to actually make payments on it to the courts. I just had to prove that I was, you know, living where I was. So if you're someone who doesn't in that situation, just be prepared. It is pricey. It's $350. You fill out the paperwork. You provide them with documentation of your original name. And then you put down on the paperwork what name you would like. you go in front of a judge, you kind of explain this is who, this name represents who I am and who I am living my life to be. The judge says yes or no. I was in a courtroom with 28 other people that were going for legal name changes. I was the only trans person there. Everybody else was like, there was one mom that was changing her son's name to protect him from the father. You know what I mean? So, like, you're in a room of people. Like, it's not about just being trans and changing your name. Same thing with, you know, the gender-affirming care. Like, so many straight people use these things, and they're trying to rip it away from just us, you know? And so I'm going to go back to my point. So I went to the courthouse. The judge said, does this reflect who you are and who you're going to be living as? And I said, absolutely. And he said, okay, great. Signed it. I took that paperwork, and I had to send it to Texas, where I was born, to have them amend the birth certificate. That was $35. But I had to do it three different times because the state of Texas is super difficult to work with. I highly recommend if you are in Arizona, you're going to have a much easier time. I believe in Arizona, though, it's a $50 fee to change the birth certificate. And they don't actually change your birth certificate. They just amend it. So the birth certificate will always say male. In Texas and Arizona, you cannot change that. You can't amend the name, though. And at the bottom of my birth certificate, it has my amended name. I took that and the court paperwork to the Social Security office. And that was $150. And the Social Security office was probably the easier one, but it took the longest. It took them about 6 months to approve it. And I highly recommend if you do this, do not ask for a new Social Security number because you'll almost always get denied because that looks like you're trying to hide something, right? So like when you look at my Social Security number, you're going to see two names, my old name and Madison, right? And so those are going to exist. They're going to exist always until the day I die, right? Even my birth certificate or my death certificate will probably say my male name. Because I won't be around to change that either.
So my question is, does your documentation read female?
Yes.
How do you get to that?
So I had to take all of that, everything that I just listed, I had to take all of that to a doctor. And then I had to have a doctor sign a paper saying that I medically identified as a female. And then I had to get a psychologist. I had to see a psychologist twice. Once to talk about why I wanted to transition. And the second one to talk about what it meant to me to be transitioned. And we have, of course, went into how there's no, this is a moving target. Transitioning is a moving target. There's never going to be a final, you know, haha, I'm transitioned, you know, I'm kind of like recovery. You know, I'm never going to ever be able to say, nah, did it. Great. Thanks. Moving on. You know what I mean? Like there's, it's a continuous thing. And once you understand all of that with those two documents and everything I listed that I got from the courthouse, from my birth certificates, from Social Security office, all of that, I had to take to DMV. Then the DMV decides if they're going to do it or not. They have the final say. All of that could be for nothing if the DMV decides, nope, you don't get it. Bye. You know what I mean? And luckily they approved it.
So what I'm hearing is that in order for me to live my own truth, not only emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but also legally, there is some work, there is some footwork that needs to be done. And I know that a lot of times, especially if you're anything like me, I love to procrastinate shit. And for me, it's like I ordered things on Amazon today that I was expecting to be here yesterday. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like I want everything right now, right now. It's going to take patience. Mm-hmm. It's going to take work. Mm-hmm. But at the long run, it's needed. Yep. It's one way to protect your rights and to protect yourself from this new administration that definitely. And the sad part is
that's the other thing, though, with this new administration, you have less rights and ability to do all this.
And the sad part is that all of those straight white females that voted for Trump are now encountering, where they have to hire Hispanic, blacks, women, what's the
minorities?
Yeah, it's something, I forgot, IBP or something like that. Mm. Well, anyways, so now a lot of these girls are finding themselves to be losing their jobs because that no longer is in place. And I should have informed myself more. Like, I'll Google it right now so I can tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah, no, I think the fear is, though, that this administration is also taking away the ability for people to go through that process. And just so the listeners know, like, the actual process took me... Oh, okay, she's listening to videos now. She's not looking to put that goddamn word. Anyways, the process from start to finish took me a year and a half total to get to Madison Phillips.
So. DEI.
Oh, wow. That's what you couldn't think of?
Yes.
Diversity, equity, equality, inclusion? No.
Yeah. Because now, since that's out of the freaking game, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't matter if you're a white female, you're still a female. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what a lot of these girls that voted for Trump don't realize is that just as much as Blacks, Hispanics, the LGBTQ plus community are targeted by this new government, so are they. Because before they're white, they're females. You get what I'm saying?
It's just, it's so sad how uneducated about their own rights they are. Mm-hmm. It breaks my heart for them, you know, because they truly, truly, you know, and what's worse is that my mom loved Trump, right? Like, everyone knows how much I love that woman. But, like, I had to accept that she is convinced that this is the solution. This chaos is the solution to the problems. Like, it makes no sense to me. It still does it. It still baffles my mind to this day. I don't understand it. I really don't. And I don't want to try to anymore. It's not worth my energy to try and understand it. Now my energy is spent in having these tough conversations with everyone because it is worth it now. Whereas before I didn't, I mean, I had the conversations with you in the podcast, but like outside of the podcast, like I didn't talk about this stuff. You know what I mean? Now I'm like, I have to talk about this stuff and you're going to get sick of me, but I have to keep bringing awareness to the fact that it's not just the trans community they're coming after, right? It's mm-hmm. any minority that can't fight for themselves right now. And it seems like they get off on it in a weird way.
I think it's having that power over everybody else, you know, mm-hmm. having, because here's the thing, even though slavery was abolished a long time ago, we are now slaves with a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some people have to work 3-4 jobs in order to provide with their family. And God forbids they get sick because they cannot, because they need to pay the house insurance. They need to pay the health insurance.
You know,
and
it was Laverne Cox. You know who Laverne Cox is, right?
Of course.
The trans actress. She.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one she, from Laverne Cox, Orange is New Black?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, so she was on a show the other day, and she's the one that said, she said that trans people are less than 1% of the population, and that 1% is not what is costing you guys more at the store. It's not what's affecting your rights. It's the 1% on the other side that's affecting all those things. The 1% that you voted for that's affecting all of those things. Like the price of your eggs? Nope, trans didn't do that.
And there's this stand-up comic that was... comic?
A funny guy?
A funny haha guy that said, like, because a lot of their argument is like, well, men are just trying to be perverted to go into the females' restrooms and blah, blah, blah. Ugh. And he's like, yeah, because men are so fucking distorted that they were like, you know what's a great idea? Let me go through the whole transition. Let me go through the whole thing just so that I can go and smell them. Those bathrooms are filthy, he said.
Listen, girls' bathrooms are worse than men's
bathrooms.
He said,
I grew up with a mom and 3 sisters. Mm-hmm. He's like, the last thing I want to do is share bathrooms with a fucking female. He's like, trust me, there's nobody in the bathroom going like, oh yes, they're peeing, you know? Because here's the thing, guy. Like, I really cannot speak and generalize, you know? Like, I cannot, because, like, of course you have those people that have distorted thinking and have, you know, mind issues. I'm not saying there's not. But to just cast us, all of us, under the same umbrella, I think it's ridiculous. It's a bit far-fetched. It's a bit unrealistic. And it's a bit silly to think that way.
Well, they think that the trans experience is monolithic, and it's not. It's
explain monolithic.
That we're all the same.
Oh.
And we're not.
No.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is that, like, because they group us into one big pool of people, it makes it easier for them to instill this fear into people who don't know a trans person. Right? What are you laughing at? What is so funny?
Because I just remember that song, we all breathe the same. And in my head now I play, we all monolithic the same.
We don't, though. No, I mean, we don't. She's going to die. Okay, listeners, just so you know, LG is on the other side of the table about to die. She's about to choke over there with her laughter.
Whoa.
Choke over. Wait, what's it called? Croak? No. What do you call it when people die? Dead.
A funeral? I don't know, bitch.
Anyways, so they do think that we're monolithic and it's easier to.
Monolithic?
Monica Lewinsky. She licked it.
No, she sucked it, bitch. I swear we're trying to be professional and anyways, mindful.
But it's easier for them to scare people when they can just group it all in one.
Well, yeah. It's this is what you have to think of. We right now are 5-year-olds that are being scared by the boogeyman.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And
the orange boogeyman.
I didn't say that, but I think she's referring to Trump.
Oh, yes. No. Yes. No.
But I think that, and that's...
I plead the fifth.
You can't.
Monolithic.
You don't count.
Sorry. I snorted.
So okay. What I think that we need to focus on is realizing we're not 5 years old anymore. It's going to take much more than the boogeyman to fucking come and scare us. Because you said this once in one of our previous episodes. If any community is prepared to take on these challenges, it's our community.
Amen.
It's not the first...
Oh, I said that, huh?
Yeah. It's not the first time that we've had encountered opposition. I'm not saying that the fight will be easy, but here's the thing. We thrive on that. We've had to spend all of our lives fighting something in order for us to come and survive, in order for us to be able to come about and say, this is me, whether you like it or not. I'm not asking you for permission. I'm just letting you know who I am. But we do have to be responsible and mindful that there is footwork to be done.
Serious
footwork. It's not just going to come to you. It's not just waking up one day and like, okay, I'm trans. No. You need to, again, mental health. You know, yep. Prepare yourselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Prepare yourself to do the transition that you want to do and to become the person that you always dreamed to be.
Absolutely.
And you were meant to be. So moving on from the restrooms, what would be another?
Oh, gender affirming care. So anyone, Google Elon Musk 2010, right? And then Google Elon Musk now. And tell me this motherfucker has not had gender affirming care. The assholes had hair plugs, he's had jawline fixed up. Like, that's gender affirming care because he wants to look more like a man, right? Like, this is the irony of this group of people. I mean, Trump wears makeup. Let's call a spade a spade. We all know it. We see it. And that much money, and you can't afford a better makeup artist? Really? Come on. Anyways.
I can deal with the makeup. What I cannot deal with is with all that money, you can't buy a better fucking wig.
Honestly. I just think that there are people out there who are straight who need gender affirming care, as they call it, to do certain things. Like my mom, she was also on hormones, same hormones that I was on, but she needed it for a different reason because of her menopause. So like, if we cut out gender affirming care for everybody and make it just against trans, well, I mean, then that's not American, right? Like, you can't just pick on one group and allow everyone else to reap the benefits of these things.
And this is where I'm going to with this. Like, so you're going to tell somebody else, well, you were born a male, so you're going to stay a male, right? Like, you don't need to become a girl, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you were born already a male, why do you need to do anything else to feel more like a man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, why do you need to chisel your jaw, mm-hmm. to get more hair implants, to fix this, to fix that? It's because you want to feel,
yeah, yeah,
the way that you perceive yourself.
Yep.
And it's obvious that you're not content with the way that you look, and you want your outside to match your inside.
And I'm not content with the way he looks either.
This is a guilty pleasure, okay? And I know we're probably going to get canceled after this with our 20,000.
Or two?
Yeah, people? Let's be
our
honest.
Two listeners?
We have more than two. We got to be grateful for that. That's we have
true.
More than two.
That's true.
And we've
I haven't checked on it in a while.
And we actually, we're close to 2,000 listeners. Uh-huh. I mean, not listeners.
We've passed
streams.
We passed that a long time ago, I thought.
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I'm happy with that because we've been listened to like around the world, like in mm-hmm. places, even if it's just one or two listeners, mm-hmm. like we've been like on places that I would have never thought somebody was going to be like, oh, let me listen to these bitches. We have Germany. We have some... we have them in all continents.
Yeah.
We have Australia, Africa, Asia. Mm. I think that the one that's
Australia. I would love to go to Australia. It's on my bucket list. I think they have the sexiest accents. Ugh. But they're also assholes, is what I hear.
Wow, you just... There you go. We're canceling Australia now.
I heard that. I don't know that.
That's not true, okay?
Okay.
I love the crocodile hunter.
My mom was married to a guy. Yes, Robert. Mm. Delicious. Anyways, my mom was married to a guy that lived in Australia for a long time, and he would always say, like, when he'd go take a shower, and he says in the shower, he would, I'm going to take a tub. That's what they call it. They call a bath a tub. I think it's cute. I would never say it, but...
You just did, bitch.
I did. You're right. The
fuck? Okay, look, Elon Musk. Anyways, the guilty pleasure that I was going to say is that 10 years ago, I actually thought Elon Musk was cute.
Ooh.
I did.
Ooh, girl.
I did, girl. Like,
oof.
I would have.
Woof.
He would have.
Oof.
You know?
Were you high?
10 years ago?
Probably.
Drunk? It wasn't the epitome of my high. It was like the beginning of it.
Still.
So I was kind of like.
I would use that. I would start with that next time.
No, bitch. There's a lot of shit that I did prior to my addiction that I cannot blame drugs for.
I will say when John Goodman played Fred Flintstone in the Flintstones, that did it for me as a preteen.
I was mm-hmm. this type
I walked
of.
I walked around with some wet pants with John Goodman playing Fred Flintstone. Yeah, I know.
So when I say yabba dabba doo.
No.
Do I make you horny, baby?
Mufasa.
But yeah, so okay, so gender care,
gender affirming care.
Okay, so tell us more about it. Well, what are the challenges that we're facing with that?
So not having it, one, I mean, that's kind of what they're going for, you know, but that's the thing is they're trying to affect the trans community by taking out gender affirming care, not realizing that way more. I don't have an exact percentage and I don't want to make one up because I think it's important to be factual about this stuff, but there's way more people that are considered straight, they're cisgendered, that use gender affirming care than trans people, right? Like the trans people are not the issue with the gender affirming care, but that side of the world, on that side of the rope, they're so convinced that without the gender affirming care, there would be no more trans people because we wouldn't have the option to medically transition, not understanding the whole process. There's social transition, there's medical transition, there's sexual transition, everyone's in some kind of identity transition at some point in their life, right?
Amen to that.
Like when you become a new mom, right? Like I don't know that feeling, but I know for a fact it gave my sister a new identity. She was now Deegan and Lindsay's mom. You know what I mean? She was no longer Madison's little sister. She was no longer, you know, Billy, who was great at sports. She is now that child's mother. And that's a new identity. And she had to transition into that identity. And I don't think that the other side of the rope understands that at some point, even they went through a transition of their identities.
What we need to understand, what they don't understand, I think that we understand this pretty well, is that butterfly effect.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When I switch something on one side, it's going to have a ripple effect on everything around it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're thinking that we're targeting trans, that we're targeting immigrants and all of that, which that's a whole different fucking topic.
Mm-hmm.
But at the long run, it's affecting you too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because the eggs ain't cheaper, bitch. The eggs ain't cheaper.
But the chicken is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Like it's understanding that every decision that we make has a secondary effect on somebody else,
yes.
On another freaking demographics, on another community.
But they don't care.
And that's when we need to wake up and mm-hmm. say like, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, I might not like that bitch, but I do like getting my fucking, you know, injections. I do like getting my fucking hormones. So, mm-hmm. so I mean, it's not about them, but are you mm-hmm. willing to sacrifice your own identity? Are you willing to sacrifice your own rights so that your what you deem to be right can be imposed on somebody else?
I mean, to them, they think that side is so, it's mind-boggling that the things that they think, honestly, that
well,
work,
you know what?
Work.
Like what I've seen a lot is that a lot of people that voted for Trump have gone on TikTok, Instagram, and all of that, and be like, "Fuck, what
yeah,
did I
they
do?"
They got fired.
but that's what. Here's the thing, girl. Yeah. Like, unless we have those consequences, we're not going to get it. You know what I mean? Unless we the problem is that we wait for shit to affect us in order for us to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, oh, now it's affecting me.
Yeah.
Well, it would have never had if you would have been compassionate and considerate and empathetic to somebody else. But mm-hmm. because you are sitting here standing on your freaking high horse thinking that you're better than everybody else and thinking that your beliefs are the right beliefs mm-hmm. and that everybody else is fucking wrong. Well, maybe that's right. Maybe mm-hmm. that is so.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no right to impose on anybody else and decide for somebody else.
Yeah.
I think, for example, and we've talked about this, when it comes to pro-choice or
Pro-life.
I'm pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I will never take somebody else's choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it should be any, like, just the same way that I don't want someone to decide over my body,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have the right to decide what you do with yours.
Mm-hmm.
So just because that doesn't affect me directly,
yeah,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I voted for pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I agree with it, but what I agree with is that everybody should have the right to make their own fucking decisions.
Well, I think that's where they get it so misconstrued, is that they think that pro-choice means that I'm just all of a sudden for baby death. No, that's not what that is. Pro-choice does not mean that you're like, yep, you didn't like what you did, so go ahead and take care of it. That's not it at all. That's not what the pro-choice movement is. The pro-choice movement is literally let this woman decide what happens to her body. That's it, mm-hmm. right? And nothing beyond that is anybody else's business but her, her doctor, and her significant other, if there is one in the picture. You know what I mean? Like, but really, just her and her doctor. Like, that's the choice part. And I get so furious when they try and use the pro-choice as, oh, you're a baby killer. No, motherfucker. I'm just giving the woman the power to choose over her goddamn body, unlike you. Well, that was aggressive.
So,
sorry.
So here's the thing. Like, and most of these things are based on moral values. You know what I mean?
Well, or lack of for some.
Well, or Christian values, you know? And
that's
here's
a whole other
like,
conversation.
Like, if you want to follow those, like there's this part on that book that you guys preach from that says, like, you're either going
that
to...
Book.
Well, it's the Bible, but I didn't want it to get all preachy and shit because I do believe in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. And that's why I know what I'm going to say, what yes. I'm about to say. I know it for sure that it says, like, well, if you want to follow the rules, be my guest. You're supposed to live under grace. But if you're going to follow the rules, make sure you don't miss a single one of them.
Because
mm-hmm. if that's what you want to go by, okay, then you better be immaculate, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice I used that word? Immaculate?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah.
I think, I forget what specific passage it is, but it says something to the effect of, they're neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, for all is one in Christ. And wow, I don't know how I know that off the top of my head. But it's always stuck with me as a kid because I was raised in a church on my dad's side. And it was... I mean, the book of Leviticus was literally thrown at me during my conversion therapy. You know, the book of Leviticus was basically me being set on fire and hung out to dry for Satan because of the way that I acted and the way that I looked. It had nothing to do with what I actually thought. God forbid they ever actually knew what I thought about them, you know. It would have been even worse, I think, if they actually knew what I was thinking. But because of the way I looked, the way I acted, it was enough for them to put me in conversion therapy. And obviously it didn't work. There was no conversion. I actually just came out of it, you know, more traumatized from it. But to that point, that I that one saying is that they were neither Jew nor Greek, nor a man nor a woman, for all is one in Christ. And I thought that, okay, so why are we not leaning into that shit? Why are we only hanging on to the stuff that tells you that you have to beat me as a child to kick the gay out of me? Like, nowhere in it does it actually say that, but yet that's what we're doing to children who are different than what the church believes they should be.
And here's the thing, like, I'm not for gender affirming care, you know, at a young age. I'm not for that. You know, like I seriously am not. I think that you need to let kids be kids. Hold on. You need to allow them to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Without imposing certain things. Because here's the thing. Sometimes a boy might just like to play with Barbies. And it doesn't mean that he's going to be gay or trans.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just his choice.
Yeah.
And maybe the kid wasn't even thinking about being gay or anything. But everybody keeps telling him, oh, that's gay. That's gay.
Mm-hmm.
That's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts like, oh, maybe I'm... So he's conditioned to believe something that maybe he didn't even have in his mind. I think that if you allow kids to be kids, if you allow a boy to play with a Barbie, if you allow a girl to play with cars... It's not going to make them gay or straight or anything other than a fucking kid playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that you should let kids be kids because you need to be emotionally mature to handle a transition. You know what I mean? There's certain things that you cannot go back from. Mm-hmm. And you need to be really sure of what your choice is. And I think that we tend to make emotional choices because we want to fit in at a young age. More than we do at a more mature age. So I think that if you're emotionally ready, do whatever you want.
But who decides the emotional ready part?
And that's a thin line.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thin line because some freaking 12-year-old is more mature than I am.
Probably.
Wow. But no, facts. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and there's fucking 50-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
That are like that. You're like, are you sure you're 50 and not 5?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, they usually wear red hats.
Wow. And I think that as a parent, it's hard. I'm not a parent,
mm-hmm.
but I assume that it is really hard to know exactly how do I make the choice for my child.
Yeah.
How do I protect my child? You protect your child by allowing your child to be a child, by allowing your child to express and to explore.
But there's
without limitations.
There's no guidebook on this.
That's
shit.
Exactly
like,
what I mean.
Yeah, so...
I mean, because here's
yes
the thing.
No.
I cannot tell a parent how to raise their kids. I can't.
But you'll
try. Shit, my sisters know that. And my brother do.
But you know what I came to find out is that I don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know because...
But the parents don't either.
Because every single child is different. Every single parent is different. And of course you want to teach your child values. And of course you want to make sure that your kid becomes the better version of themselves. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to let them find out for their own. And you're there just to steer them around. Not to choose for them, but to steer them around. Because sometimes when we, especially when we tend to believe like, oh, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. And then we try to force them into something that they're not. Then, yeah, the child might be what you wanted them to be. But have you asked your child if they're happy? And shouldn't that matter most? You get what I'm saying? So
I do. I think, though, that it's not... Oh, God, see, this is where it gets crazy because I don't believe that a medical transition should happen before the age of 18. Medical transition means pills, drugs, all that. However, I do believe that children and adults should be allowed to have these conversations with professionals. And the part about the gender-affirming care ban is that it's included. They're not just talking about the pills and the shots and all that. They're literally talking about everything from A to Z on the gender-affirming care spectrum, which... is not fair. You know, I think that I was very blessed with a mother that pushed me a couple times when I was a child to come out to her, basically. Like, this is a safe space. I think I was 12 when she first said, honey, do you wish you'd been born a female? And I said, no, mom, of course not. And then at 16 again, she'd asked me, honey, you can tell me if you know, she's like, I will help you through this. I don't know how. She goes, but we'll help you through it. No, mom, I'm good, right? And so then when I did come out to her thinking it was a safe space and it wasn't, right? Big shocker there. Like, I mean, my mom asked me twice if I was trans, and then I come out 34 and all of a sudden it's a fucking problem.
Got you, bitch.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really thought I was coming out to someone that I was safe with, and it turns out I wasn't at the time, you know? So, like, I think the gender-affirming care, that the conversations are included where the professionals are included, I think that's okay. You know, I do think that you have a point in that we have seen some instances where the child was pushed in that direction, but at the same time, I don't believe there's a handbook in this or a guidebook, and I do think that the parents are doing what they think is best at the time.
Exactly.
There are those rare occasions where they went too far, but we also know that, you know, what they call pageant moms, and right? There's always going to be someone that takes it too far. But I do think that the children and the parents deserve to have access to these conversations with professionals.
And by any means, are we saying that we are experts on the topic? Because neither one of us are parents.
No, we're not parents, and we didn't do it as children.
So, but I can tell you what I would have appreciated as a child. I can tell you what I would have liked my childhood to look like. I would have liked a safe space for me to be who I was. I would have liked a more open conversation, professional help. I would have liked all of those things, and maybe I wouldn't have made all the mistakes that I did in my life. Yeah. Now, I cannot blame everybody else for my choices that I made after that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, being able to provide that safe environment for your kids should be paramount to you, mm-hmm. because it's not about you living through your kids, but allowing your kids to live through you.
Yeah. Well, like, growing up, my parents are divorced, but growing up, I would spend some time with my mom, some time with my dad. At my dad's house, I was allowed to put the table runner around my waist and go run around the house and act like I was playing in a skirt. Totally fine. Mom's house with my family, not allowed. Like, no way. You know what I mean? So, like, there was different spaces for me to exist. And I think that one was obviously healthy for me and one obviously wasn't. However, both houses thought they were doing the right thing.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like.
And we're not judging anyone. Like, however you want to raise your kids, at the end of the day, it's between you, your kids, and your higher power. Mm-hmm. That's up to you.
Amen.
You know how you run your house. It's your business. Nobody should come and tell you what to do in there. But we're just trying to create conscious mm-hmm. on how to create better relationship with your kids as mm-hmm. as children that were neglected, that were emotionally abused, knowing and unknowingly. I can tell you what I would have liked for that for my childhood to look like. I applaud parents, and I think that when it comes to that, we've come a long way, because I see now like 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, like in gay march, like with their hair and everything. Yes. Like, they would never know what being in the closet was. And I'm grateful for that, because that's only thanks to every single predecessor that has come before us, that has fought the fight, that has made it so that other people can realize, like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe we should be okay with this. Like, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a good person. Well, it just makes you a fucking human being.
I think that we as a community in the queer community, we're about to see Stonewall 2.0. You know, I think that they're being pushed to a point where our generation does have to stand up. And I it saddens me because I know that the people before us who did all this work and fought all these fights and got down and dirty in the trenches with their, you know, sisters and brothers, they felt like they were really paving a road forward. And now we're in a place where it's not going to be, it might not be as bad, but you can't ever say.
It's our time. It's our fight.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is that people need to show up. And our generation is not used to that, because the generations before us, not just the one before us, but the one before them, did so much to clear out the trail for us to walk on, you know, without having to worry about what was coming up next, because we could see what was coming up next because of the trail that they made. And now we're at a point in that trail that is no longer made anymore. And we don't know how to handle it. Right. We don't know what it looks like to stand up and fight. It's probably good for us, but it also saddens me, you know, because the people before us, they got together, they organized, and they built a community. And now the community is here. However, we are divided, right? There was a video of some friends of mine that were at a bar, and there was a couple people that were wearing Trump hats, and it got nasty. Like, it got downright nasty. And these are people within the same community now. You know what I mean? And I don't think they had that kind of division at that time, when they probably did, but it wasn't as vocal. You know what I mean? So now we have people who do like this presidency, who do like his administration and his executive orders, and still consider themselves part of the queer community.
And my thing with that is, like, again, just the same way I cannot tell you how to raise your kids, what to choose, like, I will not tell you what party to go for. It's your fucking right. Whatever reasons you have for supporting Trump or not supporting Trump, that's on you.
No.
But that's...
We're past that point.
For my opinion.
Okay.
Okay, for my opinion.
Okay.
Because I'm not here to judge you for what you do. But you have to be considerate of this, because this is the fact. Your vote casted a great impact on everybody else. And if you still feel that you made the right choice, let you be at peace with you. But if you really take a look around you, if you really look at the family of immigrants, if you really look at the trans community, if you really look at the things that are going on with women, you will realize that maybe, and just maybe, you need to reroute your thinking. Because I don't want to, like I said, I don't agree with abortion. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take somebody else's right away. Mm-hmm. I think it should be their right to do so.
But that's what their vote did. Their vote did exactly that.
Then that's what I just said.
Yeah. No. I think the time to have a very passive viewpoint on it is past. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. But to be that passive about it, I think, is only allowing them to hide underneath the blankets and say, oh, I didn't know I was going to do that, so I'm going to go away for 4 years and just let the dust settle. Like, no, that's not an option anymore. You know, I firmly believe, you know, and this is before the election, I was the one saying, you know what, vote for who you're going to vote for, right? You have to lay in your bed. That's what you do. Now it's at a point where it's like you literally put your pen to paper to say that these people do not deserve any rights to exist in this country. That's what you did. And you need to own up to that. And if you're not willing to own up to it, that's another mark on you. Like, I think that we need to start holding them accountable, right? You say, like my family, you say you love me and you voted for him. You voted for someone who thinks that I don't exist. You voted for someone who's taking the trans and the queer words out of the Stonewall Riot Act. What is this? Like, what are you doing to me? You say you love me, and yet you chose these things. How dare you? I get to say that now because they did this. They don't get to lay there and say, didn't know it was going to be this serious. You know what I mean?
I think that, for example, and when I bring it back to my addiction, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing, you know, I'm not harming nobody. I'm doing what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And whenever anyone came around and told me and tried to push up on me what they believe was right, what they believe was best for me, I ignored them. Mm-hmm. And I deemed them crazy. Like, mm-hmm. You really think you're going to tell me what to do? Like, you're not going to change my mind? Mm-hmm. Because whenever I'm challenged, I block myself. Mm-hmm. And now I cannot think outside the box. Mm-hmm. I needed to learn by my own, through my own experience and through my own fuck ups, to realize, oh, wait, this is not good. So I think that when it comes to political parties or any decision that anybody else makes, they have to come to their own senses on their own, because us forcing them to is not going to work. Mm-hmm. What we can do is fight for ourselves,
yeah,
and stand up for ourselves and do the marches and show up and, you know, show
call
them.
Call your representatives.
There you go. Call your representatives. Do the things that we need to do in order for us to excel. But me pushing my beliefs upon somebody else, it never works, because it wouldn't work with me.
And see, these aren't my beliefs. Mm-hmm. You can't, the right wing cannot say that they believe that I'm male. That's not a belief anymore. It's a fact that I am a trans woman. You can't sit there and say, don't believe it. You don't get that option anymore. I'm right in your face. I'm a trans woman and I'm proud to be it. You don't get to say that you just kind of don't believe in me. You know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. to say that these things don't exist in the world is very naive. You know, it's not going to get better over time. It's only going to get worse right now because he has 4 years to go. Now, he's already applied, or his someone in the Senate has already applied to get him a third term, which chances are very low of him actually getting to do it because of the Constitution. But he's going through the Constitution like a goddamn wrecking ball already. So what's going to stop him from a third term? We don't know.
And this is the thing, people. If you really consider yourself to be patriotic, the Constitution is being used as a freaking map to drag everyone through the floor. And it's being violated left and right. And if you truly consider yourself a true patriot, you should maybe stop and see that. Mm-hmm. Maybe stop to think that, hey, maybe I made the wrong choice. And again, like, I'm not here to force you. You do whatever the fuck you want to do, because at the end of the day, you do you, boo. But don't come complaining to us. And again, Maddie, this is my opinion when it comes to that, because I don't like to be forced into anything. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I hate to do is to impose what I think is right on somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how someone else was raised in their house that they believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. Like, either they beat it into you, or there was a way that you got to that point. It is not my job to get you out of that. It's your own responsibility to make sure that you become a decent human being. And if you think that pretending that other people are non-existent, pretending that it's okay to tear down families, like, I feel really sorry for you, because I don't know what kind of childhood you had to believe that that's okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I am not your keeper. And at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. And a lot of the people that you care for and that you call friends, that you call your family, that you call your loved ones, are part of those communities. Now, if you can still vote the way that you vote and go to sleep at night, more power to you. I know I couldn't. But I'm not going to sit here and try to force anyone into something that I don't want to be forced into. And I don't want them to believe in me. I don't want them to accept me. I don't want them to understand me. All I want you to do is to respect me. You know what I mean? They don't. Respect my choices.
But they don't.
And that's why we need. And that's why we need to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to turn around and be like them and try to force them the same way that they're trying to force us. Because that's not what I stand for. What I stand for is everybody has the right to believe whatever the fuck they want, as long as they don't hurt anybody. And if my belief is going to hurt anybody, then maybe I should reconsider that belief. Again, and it's the only thing that I can think of is abortion. I don't agree with it. But I voted for pro-choice. Why? Because it is not my choice to demand somebody else, hey, I think God sent you that kid as a blessing. You do not need to be doing that. Like, I'm not going to preach to you like that, because obviously it's not my choice to make. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm going, like, and I understand the whole, like, well, if they chose this at this point, like, they're far gone, and I get it. But I know that for myself, someone trying to force me into believing what they believe is not going to work. I have to come on to my own conclusions in order for me to shift my mind, to shift my thinking. You know what I mean? And it's going to be sad that it's going to take all of these legislations affecting your ass for you to be like, oh, maybe now I need to do something about it. Too late at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot there, but basically, I guess at the end of the day, what I want to say is that there's no more of this, oh, that's your opinion, good for you, not mine. It's very, very passive-aggressive, right? And I think that that has gotten us nowhere, right? Passive-aggressive just means that you are like, okay, and then you say some snide comment back. Like, that's not the change that needs to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. The change that needs to happen is that the challenge has to be out there, because they are going through the communities, not just trans, not just queer. They're going through all of the minority communities with a wrecking ball, taking away more than just trans rights, right? Like, they're literally going through and separating families, and they're proud of it, you know? And that's the saddest thing, is that These are things, and that's the other thing, is that they've got us so discombobulated because now we're trying to cover everything. They went through with a very clear agenda, Project 2025, and they have done exactly what they said in Project 2025. So they have got us all over the place. And guess what? When a community is all over the place, they're not able to focus on a message. And I think that's where this side of the table, that we are too busy trying to cover all of it. You can't. You cannot conquer all of it as a group. The community has to come together for one message and one mission to get one thing back, right? Like, the one thing. Like, let's fight for the immigrants, maybe. Let's fight for the trans people, but we got to focus the message. It is too discombobulated right now. And I do think that there is a reason we should hold them accountable. There's nothing that says that we can't, right? That we need to hold them accountable. We need to show up and ask these questions. And there's been a couple of town halls that they've actually shut down in the middle of it because people from the city came and asked questions, asked the tough questions. And these mayors and these governors like, we didn't plan on that happening, right? And so they just shut it down. And that's the stuff that needs to keep happening. Like, we can't let up now. And we can't just say, we'll survive. We'll be okay. We've done worse. You know what I mean? And like, I get so disheartened when people are like, I'm not trying to tell them what to do. I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're not, and I know how you feel about it, but I'm telling you, on my side of the table, I'm fucking in their face about it from this point on. Mm-hmm. Because they got to do it for me for how many years? And I've sat back and just let it. And I'm like, well, call your representative. Okay. You know, no, I'm going to have the very tough conversations with fucking strangers because I have that right. Right? I was born in this country too. I am a trans woman in America. I'm allowed to tell you that you're fucking wrong about what you had to say about me. Mm-hmm. Right? And I understand that's not going to get me anywhere. However, the needle doesn't move when people just say, that's your belief, good for you. That doesn't move the needle. And then that's not how the brick was thrown. The brick didn't get thrown because someone's like, your belief, good for you. The brick got thrown because they were frustrated. They were angry. They were sad. They were hurt. And they were done. They were fucking done. That's how that brick got thrown. It's our turn to throw the fucking brick back at them because they deserve it. Not because your belief, good for you. It's literally, here's a brick to your fucking face. I'm here. I'm going to be here and I'm going to stay no matter what you say or do.
So this is what I think when it comes to that. My predecessors went and knocked down that wall so that I didn't have to knock that wall down again. They did that so that I can have better ways and I can better prepare myself to not have to fight with my hands, but to fight with my mind, to fight with who I am and with my character. I no longer need to be on your face because my actions and the way that I carry myself are going to change your mind. The way that I fight today is not with a sword and a shield. You know, I fight with my words. I fight with the way that I present myself. I think that one of the things that the biggest thing that I've learned from my predecessors is that they set fire on everything so that we can have new roots, so that we can have new pathways, so that we can learn new ways to approach it. Because back then we didn't have as many doctors, as many lawyers, as many people in the freaking politic rooms that can actually do the fighting without us having to lose anybody. I don't think that there's anything passive about living your truth. I think that there's a declaration of war when I show up and be me. That's how I fight, being me. I don't fight. I'm not going to force you. I will never force you. But my actions and the things that I do will force you to rethink the way that you believe, to rethink the way that you see us. How do I know that? Because I've seen it happen at my job. I've seen it happen around friends. I've seen it happening with my family. You know what I mean? So I see the changes. And here's the thing, like, I'm just good old little me. Well, maybe not little, but I'm just me. But I will create the change that I want to be around me, not by forcing people, but by living me, by living by being who I am. If others, like you said, your stand is I'm gonna be all over your face. I will never tell you. I will never tell you. Don't. That is the wrong thing to do. No, because for you, that's the right thing to do. You know what I mean?
I want to be clear. I've made more of a difference as a trans woman in America the last 4 years by literally showing up every day and doing what I do best, which is existing, right? I have more power now as I sit here at a podcast about trans people than I ever did, you know, before. I mean, I just graduated yesterday with my bachelor's degree. I will have my master's next year. Like, I am a top tier manager at Amazon. Like, I am making more moves as a trans person in this country now than I ever would by getting in someone's face. However, I think there's a time and a place. I'm not saying this is going to work forever. I'm saying that the pushback is now.
And what would you like to close with today?
Fuck them up. Fuck them all the way up. Just kidding. Violence doesn't answer anything. However, I do think that it is our time to throw the brick. I mean, I'm not saying like pick up a little brick and throw it. I'm saying just, you know, there's, I can't think of the word right now, but basically like it's the actions. Why are we doing action wise? Like, what am I doing when I get up in the morning to fight for my community and for the people that don't have these rights anymore? Because there are people losing their rights 100%, whether I like them or not, right? It doesn't matter. They are losing their rights and they don't deserve that. So it is my turn to show up and show out and be there and support them in the best way I can. And I know that I'm doing more by showing up every day as a trans person in this world. However, I could also do more by showing up and being there for them in different ways also, because I do have what I have and I'm able to have this voice and advocate for them.
Amen to that. And thank you for asking me, Maddie. Well, what
Oh, hey, wait, hold on. LG, do you want to close the show with something?
Well, mine. Thank you.
I know.
That came out of nowhere.
You're so thoughtful.
Thank you. So this is my thing. I encourage all of our listeners to please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/transexperience3.com. And if you have any resources, if you have any questions, if you have any opinions, if you have anything to say, whether here's the thing, you don't have to agree with us. We welcome any feedback. We welcome any comments. As long as they're not derogatory and as long as you do everything respectfully, we welcome those things. Whether you agree with me or not, whether you agree with Maddie or not, we want to hear those things. We want to create, we want to open up the conversation for us to, because this is a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. And what I close with is, go ahead, Maddie, because
there's a website called Trans Justice Funding Project. It's for the Southern Arizona Gender Alliance. It's about suicide prevention and uplifting people. So it's literally www.transjusticefundingproject.org.
Can you do me a favor? Can you post that on our Facebook right now as we're doing this? Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to close with is I'm going to sound like Captain Planet. He's your hero. Because believe it or not, the power is yours.
Is it though?
You have the power to change
things. Yes, it is.
You have the power to make moves.
Preach.
You have the power to create a better world for future generations, and you have the power to reroute your mind.
Reroute that mind.
Look around yourselves. Look around everything that's going on. And if you still think that you made the right choice, I hope you have a good night's sleep.
And I'm gonna fuck you up.
And with that said, and again, like, why is it so hard to end a show with this bitch? Why is it that every single time that I said, and this has been, she's like, fuck.
All right, love you. Bye. This is Madison.
This has been the Trans Experience.
Oh, and this is Madison.
And this is LG. Yeah. Thank you for listening to us. We love you.
I'm a turkey without a gobble.
A gobble without a turkey.
That's right. A gobble without a turkey. That's what I, or playing without flyers. That's what I said at the beginning.
No, you yeah, without flyers. What the fuck, bro? A plane. She meant wings. But anyways, thank you all for listening. Bye. Stay tuned. New episode will drop soon. Oh, and have with the Palm Church, with the Church of Palms.
Church of the Palms.
Yes, they have an event that you were talking to me about.
Shoot. Yes, it is the Rainbows Festival. Okay. It is on April 5th and 6th. It's a weekend and it is in Phoenix. And I believe, yes, April 5th and 6th, it's both days. And I believe the Church of the Palms is going to have a little booth out there. I know that our friend Georgia is going to be putting some stuff out there also. So I would pay attention to their website for the Rainbows Festival.
And we might do like a little 15-20 minute podcast, you know, so that they can tell us more about it and what to expect.
Yes. And that'd be fun.
They always have a lot of good resources. They always have a lot of good, they're more updated than we are.
They're amazing.
They are. We love you.
They put into it. It's so good. Thank you.
And again,
they said love me.
And this has been the Trans Experience.
This is Madison.
And this is LG.
Not bitch.
Close your eyes.
God. This isn't calm.
Visualize.
Don't visualize it.
Please.
Mm. All right, bye.
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 Adios.
That was racist as fuck. Mm.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Trans Experience. The trans experience is a human experience, and together, we can create a world where every story matters. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and connect with us wherever you stream your podcasts.
Until next time, we'll keep celebrating our humanity, breaking barriers, and living life boldly. Stay kind, stay real, and we'll see you next month.